listening to Good Guys Talk Back with your hosts, Nick Morawski and Pat Hester. Follow us on Twitter at Good Guys TV or on Facebook at Good Guys Talk Back.
Hey Sox fans, welcome to Good Guys Talk Back, episode 49. I am Nick Morawski, and this is your Everything Chicago White Sox podcast. Thank you so much for joining in. You can find this podcast anywhere you find your podcasts. Subscribe, and every new episode will come right into that inbox. We have so much to talk about as spring training is underway, but let me bring in my co-host, Pat Hester.
Buddy, it's good to be here. It's great to be talking. Spring training, supposed to start yesterday.
It was.
A little bit of an inclement weather out in the Valley of the Sun.
Yeah.
But they start today, 2:05, here in about 2 seconds.
Yep.
As you're listening to this, you'll probably know the outcome of the game. Yeah. But exciting to talk about.
You can't watch
real
it anywhere,
games.
Though. Don't try to watch it. We'll get to that in a moment.
Nick's going to give us a rundown of the show here in a moment. He's very passionate about it. He's already tweeting about it.
Yeah.
But spring, it feels like it kind of sprung today. It's 55 degrees. People are out.
If we could get this for opening day, which we won't. It'll be 35 degrees. You know, but if we, this is all I need. You know, 50, 52. And March 26th, almost a month away, that would be perfect.
Yes. Perfect. Yes, I'll take this any day of the week and twice on Sunday if we can get this opening day. But, you know, it is what it is.
It'll be exciting. See. It'll be exciting no matter what. Yes. The excitement, you could just tell anything you read, anything you listen to, any video you watch from Arizona, smiles around. This team really seems like they're starting to gel. A lot of excitement, and Ricky Renteria has been highlighted in a lot of articles from the Sun-Times to the Trib to NBC Sports Chicago. You know, good for him. I cannot wait for a lot of different things to materialize this season, but watching Ricky is the thing that I'm going to be keeping eyes on. We're going to get to some of the Houston drama, the Manfred stuff. He's lost his mind. We're going to talk about Pecota, you know, projections, where the Sox are in Vegas.
Yeah.
Some things we would change if we owned the Sox. Both Pat and I are going to weigh in on that. A little bit of Abreu and, of course, you know, all eyes on spring training. Only 6 spring training games, Pat, are being televised on NBC Sports Chicago. I think I've got that number right. There's probably more coming through on GN and the radio. You might be able to get something different on MLB at bat, but for a network like NBC Sports Chicago that doesn't have to worry about the Cubs, they are the home of Sox baseball. Only 6 games, that seems low to me.
It does in a sense when you think about NBC Sports and what they've got going on.
Yeah.
Like Chuck Garfine and Ryan McGuffey and that whole crew,
they've been out there
for like a month.
I know.
Like, players aren't even here yet, but we're here, ready to do podcasts every three seconds. So you think, okay, ready to rock, great season, great excitement.
Yeah.
We don't have any other team in town to broadcast for.
Yeah.
And 6 games. Now, again,
does it matter to you?
Well, here's the thing, Nick. The games are going to be, you know, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock games for the most part during the week. The average person is not going to be able to dedicate time or find time to be able to jump in and watch a spring training game.
Maybe not live. Probably not live.
But I am good with what I'll get, you know, the behind home plate viewing of how the game went, because it'll be recorded in some fashion. It'll be nice. It's a nice treat when it'll be televised live and you can hear Stoney and our guy, which I love him, by the way. I love that broadcast. But
I
get your frustration with it.
I am. I'm frustrated.
But I'm looking at it from the viewpoint of what a television station is going to provide to their audience. And I think the way they look at it as these games are being played, the time they're being played, who's going to be really viewing. Ultimately, a station needs to be able to put things on that's going to drive business for their
bottom line. You're probably right. I probably won't, you know, if it's during the day, you know, I could probably stream it, you know, at my computer at work or something, or have it on the phone in you know, commuting. But it's just to have the option.
I understand.
And we've got a team that it's young, they're exciting, and a fan base that's hungry for White Sox baseball. Take advantage of it. Get some of these kids, especially, you know, the younger kids. Now, what I liked about it is the option to replay in the evening.
Yeah.
You know, you might not catch it live, but we're gonna reintroduce it around 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock.
And you'd have to tell me, is this down from in past years?
It's about par. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there have only been like a handful, and it's been frustrating.
It'll be interesting to see what happens if the year goes like we all hope and pray it does, and it goes well, if that increases the following year.
Yeah.
You know, as things get better, there's more, you see more, you hear more, and they're going to give you more of what you want. So maybe this year is they're keeping it where they've always done it in the past, at about 6, 7, 8, whatever the number is, and then they're going to take a pulse on what they can get out of it. And
I hope. I hope. It's just a little, it's disappointing. And
well, and you might want to think about this too, and this may not have too much to do with it, but we talked about Jason Benetti, and I love him. That man's everywhere. I mean, he's doing college basketball all over the place in March leading up, so maybe that had something to do with it. You don't have your eight. Which you could find, you could do other things as far as a play-by-play guy for spring training.
I'm always available. But I mean, if they wanted to contract me out, I'd be in there in a heartbeat.
I think that's your next tweet right now.
I'm telling you. But
get it on the board.
Since we've got the podcast, though, we've got information, and social media has made it's so great to, you know, read articles from the experts that are over there, that are getting paid to be over there. So it's filling the holes when we don't have the game. Yeah. You know, it's you know, first world problems, I guess, as a Sox fan. Some good news, though. Just yesterday, Aaron Bummer and Lurie Garcia are going to be White Sox for a little bit longer. Aaron Bummer for 5 years, and he's getting paid handsomely.
Yeah, and I think it's a good deal from both standpoints.
Bummer,
about being able to take care of his family for years to come. So exciting for him. I think it's, what, $16 million over 5 years?
It is, yeah.
So good for him. He can you know, fulfill the dreams he had growing up and have a nice contract for him to play the game of baseball. And I think for the White Sox standpoint, they've been able to lock down a potential everyday closer.
Right.
For a pretty good deal.
Yeah, you know, the numbers are coming out as one of the largest contracts to a someone that just... You wouldn't think it. You wouldn't think to give this type of money at this time, but I think that's the forward thinking, the trend that it's been going with Hahn and company. Last year it was Aloy at this time, around this time. Obviously Robert a little bit ways ago. Bummer was outstanding last year. I mean, against lefties, against righties. In 58 games, he had like a 2 and change ERA. A guy that came around in the 7th, 8th usually. And like you had said, if Colomé is not going to be here after 2020, after this season, well then Bummer
slides in. Which it doesn't seem like that would be in the cards, which is fine.
Yeah.
But think about a thing that you don't have to go shopping for in the off season, because we talked about it before. I don't want to go over it again ad nauseum, but I'm just not a big fan of overpaying for free agent closers or relievers.
Right.
So if you've got one in-house that you believe in, that you potentially look at and go, this is our guy going forward for the next 4 to 5 years that's going to close games for us, and I don't have to worry about going and looking for another one, I'm all about it. I think it's a fantastic
move. He gives a real good look when you pair him with C-Shack. Those two angles, and then you've got Colomé.
Yeah.
I mean, that alone. And then I'm still keeping my eye on guys like Birdie that, you know, he's got the power and is just itching to get some real game, you know, after the injuries that he's had, some real game playing time. But the other extension was for Lurie Garcia, the longest tenured Chicago White Sox.
Lurie, remember at one point when we had like 20 guys named Garcia on the team?
Yeah.
And Lurie is the one that's made it this far.
I think Renteria still puts L. Garcia in the lineup card because he's just like, I don't know what's going to happen. You never know.
So used to it.
Yeah.
Good for him. I think
you like him.
I like him. He's like your your Swiss Army knife type of player.
Yeah.
I didn't really realize until they started talking about it they could put him at second base. So I thought he was more of a utility.
He's battling with Mendick and Madrigal at second base, it seems like.
And to me, he's a guy, when he's in the box, he's going to get on base more often than not. He's going to be a guy that can run the bases for you well, play good defense, and he can slap the ball around the ballpark.
I tell you, man, he did a hell of a job at the beginning of the lineup last year.
Yeah.
Quietly. Yeah. Quietly. For a lion's share of the season. I mean... Not a sexy pick, not someone that you're racing out to get a Lourdes Garcia jersey, but boy, he did the job consistently. He got thrown in a bunch of different roles.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, not to bring up the other team in town, but I think they would have loved to have him leading off. They've been looking for a leadoff person for 5 years, ever since Dexter Fowler left. So you tell me they wouldn't love to have a guy that they don't have to try and figure out what to do at the top of the lineup. Lourdes Garcia fulfills that need for us. And whether he leads off or not for this team, because it's so deep as far as the talent and in the lineup, but you know, I think that you need guys like that on your roster.
Yeah.
You know, not everybody's going to be a star. You need brick and mortar guys on your team.
Yeah.
And he's just that. So good for him. He's been a good player for us. You know, maybe not going to bring the energy of a Yomer Sanchez, but I think he can.
And that's fine. I don't need the Gatorade dumping. I don't need that. I don't need it.
Did he come up to you in your season ticket seats and dump Gatorade on you after a win?
No, that would have been an interesting promotion. You know, who's Yomer going
to
pick?
After you tweet that I'm available to do games,
right.
You want to be doused with Gatorade by Yomer Sanchez.
He hasn't got picked up by anybody, has he, Yomer? I haven't seen his name attached to anybody.
I'll have to check.
Yeah,
with my dad.
But Lourdes just slides into where kind of Yomer was for me. I don't know if Garcia's going to be an everyday player, though. Yomer definitely got that second base thing figured out.
Yeah.
You need utility guys. You need bench guys. And I still think, I don't know if the Sox are as deep as they could be with utility guys. So to have him locked up, you know, we're going to have him for a little bit longer. That's fine by me. I was happy with what he did last year.
Rick, I just love, now that he's been given a little bit more power in this organization over the past, let's say, 5 years or so, he really can't, even when things hadn't worked out, I don't think we've ever sat here and gone, what in God's name is Rick doing? Now, they missed out, obviously, last year with the big ticket free agents, but I don't think that was a Rick thing that didn't happen. I think that was more of a, we're not going to overpay. We're not going to go over our price for these potential players.
Yeah, so, I know. I agree. He's flipped guys for, you know, he does the long play. Yeah. You know, you might not see the instant ramifications, but in a few seasons or a season and a half, he's flipped guys for, you know, valuable.
I think this is the year
pieces.
And years to come that we finally see the fruits of Rick Hahn's labor.
Yeah.
So
that's
exciting to see. So, again, really happy with the moves that he's made.
Speaking of some fruits, you know, there were some injured fruits, some bruised fruits. Yeah. We had the beginning not too long ago when spring training started, you had Gio Gonzalez, Giolito, and Grandal.
Mm-hmm.
All kind of dealing with something. And from what we understand, Hahn's message was it was minor.
Yeah.
It sounds like Grandal, you know, is involved in daily activities. He might be, you know, kind of taking that hamstring a little easier in terms of running drills, but he's catching pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing that, which is important. You know, if it was a knee or a thumb, or he might not be, you know, involved in as much catching duties, but it's important for him to get that relationship and that chemistry with some of these guys, especially new to the team like Keuchel. Gonzalez seems like that isn't a big deal. He should be ready by opening day. And Giolito's the one that I'm most happy with. He's started to throw long toss regularly. He gave 100%, you know, thumbs up. Things feel great. I don't see why I will not be ready for opening day.
Yeah, he was on, I think it was Carmen and Yurko the other day, and he spoke to those guys, and nothing indicated that he wasn't ready to go.
Right.
He was already doing long toss again. And I think he was back on the mound already. So, not anything to be concerned about. not the thing you want to see, like, as a headline, three guys, injuries, right away. It's like,
right, oh, but it was God. Quickly, it was quickly yeah. prefaced with, this is minor that, stuff, that, we just are reporting yeah, it.
That's where a headline will get you, to click on, yeah. and you read the article, and go, yeah. no, they're not, nothing really big deal to report.
Yeah. Has anybody, I mean, in the limited, you know, articles, videos, information, anybody stand out, really, you know, that you've, wow, he's looking really good, or I like what he said, or I like what the reports are on in this guy.
You know,
it's early.
It is early. I don't really know that you can get a sense out of, you know, what you see from a guy playing catch, or you watch a guy hit balls in the cage. The only thing that, you know, everybody will talk about is how he, wherever Robert is taking batting practice at, or if he's hitting
it's
on
must
the field,
watch. Yeah.
And how the ball sounds yeah. different off his bat. Yeah. I think that's what everybody's going to be looking at.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's all everybody wants to talk about, mm-hmm. and rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as the guys, I think, are getting their work in, I'm not really too concerned about what the outcome is, or how they mm-hmm. look in spring training, because mm-hmm. spring training is just spring training. You yeah. don't know if guys are working bugs out, if they're working maybe
well,
through
sure.
a minor injury
sure.
or that
oh, yeah.
it's not reported. Yeah. So, again, from what I'm hearing, it's more of the culture building, and I think Ricky Renteria has done a great job
absolutely.
Of building a fantastic
absolutely.
Culture. You know, from the outside, when you hear other teams talk about, you know, the team was bad last year, or the record wasn't mm-hmm. all that good, but guys never gave up, and they did hustle, and they did try
yeah,
hard,
yeah.
and they were always there, and it seemed like the guys still enjoyed being around
mm-hmm.
each other.
Absolutely.
Despite the records of the last couple of years, I think the culture, from what we can see as fans,
mm-hmm.
Permeates out.
Yeah.
And it looks like people are enjoying it. And now, you know, when you add more talent to it, people want to be a part of that. And be now it's like, okay, we got to turn this into winning. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think Ricky's done, he should be commended for the job he's done of building a clubhouse where
totally.
People want to be around each other and enjoy each other's company.
It's all smiles. Yeah. It's all smiles. And, you know, I agree with, you know, you have to take a lot of this with a few grains of salt, and yeah, everybody's going to say the right thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
My eyes are on Kopech, probably more than they should be, but to hear him say, I feel great,
yeah.
and for other players to say the pop of the glove, and to mm-hmm. look at him, I saw him in Charlotte, and now seeing him now, he just looks effortless,
yeah.
and he seems like his head's screwed on straight,
yeah.
and he just seems like he's just enjoying this experience. The pressure is still going to be there, but it's no, and even the going with Madrigal,
mm-hmm.
this is your second go at it,
yeah.
and so the pressure is never going to be like when it was the first time, when everybody had these lofty expectations. The expectations are still high, but I've got a new mentality.
Yep.
You know, I'm looking at that.
I like that. I like the where his, you talked about where his head's at. He's talked very openly about the demons he's had to face, the suicidal thoughts that he's
right,
had, and,
right.
and
serious.
The issues he's had to overcome, and now being in a good place, being newly married. Seems like he's in a good place. I also like, from what I heard, that Ronaldo Lopez went to, I don't know if it's the same guy that...
he's done some work.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know if
yeah.
it's the same guy Giolito went to as far as a sports psychologist, but I think mm-hmm. he needed to figure out how to get... Because you talked about it earlier,
yeah.
about that. Here's the one inning we got, right, with
yeah.
with Ronaldo.
Yeah.
He's gone. He's seeking help to figure that out,
yeah.
and tap into that, because he's got the stuff.
He's got the stuff, and he has admitted recently that he would just dwell on missed pitches.
Mm-hmm.
Not only when he missed the target, but when he missed and it got banged, you know,
yeah.
for 400, 450 feet, which he was prone to do. And he would dwell, and it was tough for him to mentally recapture and recover. And if a guy like Grandal, okay, can't be of assistance, then yeah, there are some serious issues. A good catcher is going to do a lot of different things. One thing for sure is they are going to calm a pitcher down.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to say, you have the stuff. You've got the ability. Now you have to trust your stuff, and you have to trust me. And it's the long game. When you're mm-hmm. a starter, you cannot let things snowball. Because you're should be around for six, seven, eight, we'd love, but that's not how it is anymore.
Right.
Six innings, maybe, can you give me? You know, seven would be ideal. Hey, you get banged up a little bit, like, don't, that's done.
It's going to, you have to compartmentalize.
Yeah,
that's the word. and have a short memory. And he had he seemed to have a very long memory. It's so true. He'll be, for me, you know, you talk about seeing Kopech, and that obviously he'll be a watch just to see how he is from his health, and can he still throw as hard as he had. Maybe that's not even important how hard he throws. But for me, it's Lopez, because you know he's going to be in that starting rotation, you know, God willing, you know, the first week of the season. Yeah. He's going to be a starting pitcher.
Yeah.
And if you get a I don't want to say rejuvenated, if you get the Ronaldo Lopez you got 2 years ago,
yeah.
I mean, what an improvement that would be.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And with better things to come, again, that could solidify your starting rotation.
We're hopeful. We're all hopeful. Yeah. I think it starts with Giolito. I mean, he has talked openly this past week about wanting to be the open day starter. Renteria is not going to anoint that, which is no big deal right now. But it's no mystery. Giolito is going to be the opening day starter.
You would think so right now,
unless there's an injury.
He's your best pitcher. He has proved that. He should be your opening day starter, but at the end of the day, they're all going to start. And is it that important who the opening day starter is at the end of the day?
I have opened some high school seasons as the starter. Yes. I'm going to be honest with you. There's a lot of buildup to that first game.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fanfare, you know, and it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Now, in the grand scheme of things,
you played, I didn't.
In the grand scheme of things, it's not a huge deal. But for the team and the organization to entrust the opening day to how this season's going to get, you know, going under your leadership, that is something to be proud of.
Okay.
Now it's not the end of the day, but it's also this is the person that we are saying is our guy. Yep. This is our number one guy. We're coming out and saying it, and we are starting. Hey, these games in March and April, they count just as much as September.
That's true.
Different 100%. Weather situations, but they count as much. You need to jump on these teams like Kansas City right at the beginning. So,
well, and especially if we're looking at the end of the year, we'd love to win the division, but if we're fighting for a wild card,
absolutely,
and you maybe miss a wild card by a game, and you think back to.
Right.
Maybe you lost opening day.
Yeah.
Because you didn't put your best before.
No, you're putting your guys out there. Speaking of guys, loyal guys, Abreu again, I think brings up his value recently in articles and videos I've seen, Pat. And from a fan's perspective, it's just really nice to see the relationships that continue to build and the leadership he provides to guys like Jimenez, who, you know, off the field stuff. Weight room stuff, you know, how you start your day, you know, your stress, like how you build a day as a baseball player.
This is how you are to be a professional. Everybody in this room is here for a reason because they have talent.
Yeah.
It's what you do on an everyday basis to show this is how you become a major league baseball
player. Do you think, you know, with this contract that Abreu was given, do you think it was, you know, on the field, numbers oriented contract, or do you think it was we just need you as a leader?
I think
value is more than just the field, and we need you here.
I think it was, if we were to put it like a percentage, I think it was like a 60-40.
Yeah.
60% because of what he provides on the field, as far as his, you know, his play.
Yeah.
And the 40% about what he does in that locker room, in that clubhouse, because people come in, they know who the leader of the ball club is. They know exactly who's going to hold them accountable. Mm-hmm. And the young guys
that they bring in, accountability.
So if you look at your two or three young stars that you have on this team, that they can go to him and he can point them in the right direction, and it can be him controlling the clubhouse, and Ricky doesn't have to control the clubhouse.
Absolutely, yeah.
That, to me, is almost as important as the play on the field.
Right.
That's all wonderful, but if he was an awful player, you can't spend the money.
Absolutely,
so,
sure.
So I think if you were, again, to put a percentage on it, or I think it's 60, 60-40.
Yeah, it's not all about his on-field numbers. It's not. He's going to still produce. Mm-hmm. He's still going to get his numbers. He's got a lot of baseball left in him. But I do think a lot of that contract is we love you as a clubhouse guy. We love what you do for the community. The fan base loves you. Now, my question, and this might be trivial, but slap the captain label on him. We haven't had a captain since Canerco. Yeah. I'm not saying he has to necessarily wear a C on his jersey, but just anoint him the captain. I mean, it's kind of understood that he is the man that when he speaks, you listen.
Yeah, that would be something. That would be a nice way to start the season. Maybe when Ricky announces the opening day starter.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be like a nice kind of, our opening day starter is Lucas Giolito, and our captain of the team is Jose Abreu. I think that to me,
that would be great.
Would be a nice building block on the, again, what I talked about with the culture of the team.
Yeah. I think it's for the team, and I think that would be that. It's also for the fans though. I think fans get at least I get a kick out of that, and I like to see players given, you know, clubhouse or team oriented roles and assignments that means something to them. Mm-hmm. They'll say it doesn't really matter, you know, but it does mean something to say we think this much of you as an individual, that you are going to guide this team to the next playoff, as the next division winner, playoff team, and World Series team.
Yeah, and it, when you talk about Abreu as well, and I didn't get a chance to read the article, but I just maybe read the sub headline, and it was all about him and his agent figuring out how to stay here.
Right, he wanted to show.
He was so thankful that the White Sox brought him here to this point. He wanted to. Talked about his mom told him to be grateful for everything you have, and it really wasn't about going anywhere else. It was a concentration of staying here, and I think you rewarded him with the dollars. Now I think it's you could go the step further and reward him as your captain.
Yeah. So let's tackle a couple things that we would do. All right, so we would both give Abreu the captain honor. What three things would you change if you own the Sox? Both Pat and I went through a little list here. I mean, this is the time where, you know, spring training is a lot about for the fans. Sox Fest, very fan-oriented. You know, the whole slogan, change the game. I think every baseball team, every sports team needs to figure out how to incorporate fans. You know, it's they want to. You know, the social media room, the interaction. Yeah. Well, what would you change? What would you change as an owner? You want to go first? Do you want me to kind of?
I'll let you go first.
I had a couple things that I can defend and talk more of, you know, after you get a chance. But, you know, I would let, first things first, fans need to see White Sox batting practice. It has been way too long since fans were able to watch that. I don't know why they take their batting practice. You know, they take it, you know, underground, or they take it in the side batting cages away from the fans. It's been a long time since you were able to see that. I don't know when exactly it started, but you're only able to watch the away team's batting practice. And there's something about having the Sox out there shagging fly balls, throwing a ball to some young fans, maybe signing a few autographs while batting practice is going on, and watching your team launch them into the stands. And it's just something that you get into the stadium so early, especially if there's a great giveaway. Why not? Yeah. Why not have that opportunity? So I would change that.
Okay.
I would, in terms of fan experiences, I would add another Shy Sox Bar and Grill to the other side of the stadium. Okay. I think it could support another type of bar and grill, another type of eatery. I mean, that has been a great addition.
Yes.
And they made improvements, and it's open before the game. It's open after and during. Put another one on the other side of the parking lot or in the stadium.
Sure.
The big one. And this is, again, I think this only pertains to a certain fan base. There's some people that are into retirement and numbers, retiring. I think the way Hall of Fame is, which is a very subjective, you know, who votes, what era they're voting, I feel like if you get your number retired, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
It should be a big deal because you did something in this ball club, not only beyond the diamond, but in the community with the fan base. You made a major impact on something that will never change. And we've got some wonderful retired numbers. I've been able to be at Thomas's number retirement and Burley's number retirement and watched Canerico's from afar. All those very worthy and deserving. Give Ozzie Guillen that. Retire number 13. Put it up in the rafters. No one has worn the number since 2011. Willie Harris was the last guy to wear it. Then Guillen came back and managed with that number. So, you know, no one has worn it as a player since 2003.
Yeah.
So you're not giving it out to anybody. Make amends. You know, I would, you know, whatever relationship, whatever bridges were burned, he's obviously still involved in the team. He gets invited to different, retire the number. He's deserved it.
I don't disagree with you at all.
Okay.
I agree with that.
I don't think I was trying to turn you.
I liked every point that you had. The batting practice, I mean, nothing funner when you're a kid.
Yeah, absolutely.
Watch batting practice beforehand. I don't know what the reason is. I don't know if it's like a timing thing or...
Yeah, I don't know.
And maybe a
distraction. Maybe players are like, we don't want... I don't know. We don't want
this. Maybe it has something to do with like concession sales and... Well, if you think about it, they limit, obviously, to turn off beer sales in the seventh inning.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a thing like, well, if we're going to have people in this place, we want them here spending money.
Right.
And we can't have them be here and start drinking and be here even longer. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the reason. I don't know. Yeah. But I agree. Yeah. It'd be nice to be able to see It would be nice
batting
to see
batting practice.
Another Shy Sox Barn Grill. That place is a fantastic place to stop in before or after a game. Love it, and I agree. There needs to be more of those types of
absolutely.
Things on the south side.
Absolutely.
And Ozzie, you need to find a way, whether it's a retired number. They don't have a statue for him, do they?
No, and they've stopped. Like Burley needs a statue. There's a couple other guys that have retired numbers that they haven't gotten around to a statue. I just think it's the 15th.
Maybe the guys overbooked the statue guys. Stop it with the statues already.
It's the 15th anniversary of the World Series.
Yeah.
15th year anniversary. The last time the Sox were in the playoffs, 2008, Guillen was managing. Like mm-hmm. There's a lot of different times. This could be the new era. There could be the playoffs again in a World Series. Like, he's obviously been around. He's at Sox Fest. You know, he does some pre and post on NBC Sports Chicago. He's at, you know, Hawk Day. He's at Burley's retirement. Yeah. He's more than welcomed at the... Just finish that.
I can't figure out a reason why, Nick. Maybe in the back of Jerry's mind, he's thinking... Well, Ozzie's still young and willing and able. Maybe this doesn't go right.
I don't know.
We're phoning him up.
I don't know. I'd be shocked.
Harold Baines, you know, his number was retired, right? And he was playing.
They brought him back two other times. Yeah.
So I don't know. That could be the only thing. All but right. I liked your list. All right. That's fantastic. I like playing a little fantasy camp here once in a while.
Yeah, I mean,
because you know we can't just break down pitchers and hitters all day long in this podcast.
Yeah,
so now you made this may cause you to cringe a little bit. So
let me
number
have
one.
It. Yeah.
Number one. This may make me a very unpopular person. New stadium and move it to Lakefront.
That's a big okay. So I mean, yes. If we were playing,
if we were playing, and we talked. Well, I don't know if remember where you were on air yet or not, but we talked about how are we going to grow our fan base and continue to grow
right,
it.
Right.
You grow it with young fans and people that come casually to games.
Yeah,
people don't when they're just casually wanting to go to a baseball game in this town. Unfortunately, they're not going to 35th and Shields.
Yeah,
so. In my perfect world, right? I know that there's, in this town, things like this don't just happen.
Yeah.
But if I'm envisioning, if I'm a billionaire and I'm buying a sports franchise, I'm putting it right there, envisioning it like right by Soldier Field where you got the museums there and the lake. I'm envisioning people hitting home runs out in the Lake Michigan. And you've got the ambiance of really right, McCovey.
Yeah,
like McCovey
yeah,
Cole.
Yeah.
You've got the skyline in the background, or you flip it the other way, and you got your.
Well, they should have. Yeah, they probably could have figured out. They put that when they tore down Migs Field, and they put up that you know they've got the band shelter, or whatever the stage. They could have put it the stadium
wouldn't
right there.
It, to me, it would just now. It would not be as accessible.
A little bit difficult. Right off of public transportation, that's for sure.
So, again, all those things come into play. And I know that the love of the team and Bridgeport and all that stuff, and that's fantastic. But if I own the team, I'm picking. You don't even have to make anything different than what you have already.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it. Pick it up and move it.
I do like the improvements that they've made. Yeah. I remember going in there, you know, when Comiskey Park 2 opened up in 91, and holy, it was unbelievable. You know, the blue seats and the concrete and the just the you know, the nosebleeds. Yeah. It was not very appealing.
They've done a great job.
I really like what they've done.
It's less about the way the aesthetics, stadium is. Yeah. It's
the location.
It
sure. So okay. I get you.
It's me and it's my team, and I get to put it where I want. Yeah. I'm putting it in the South Loop.
All right.
That's me. Again, it could be a very unpopular opinion.
Okay.
The next thing, just because this is part of who I am, I'd like them to rekindle a relationship with now Molson Coors. Miller Beer was has been a sponsor of the White Sox. It was for 20-plus years.
Yeah.
The fact that Anheuser-Busch and now Constellation with Modelo are the title
it is
beer
weird.
Sponsors.
It is a little strange.
Irritates me to no end.
Yeah.
So that I would like to get... rekindle that
it's
love affair.
It was weird not seeing Miller around the park for, you know,
and
after
and
so many
years.
And
as a Miller beer drinker, it bothers me.
Sure,
it's
understandable.
It's my light beer of choice. So, again, that would be one thing I would get changed. And the last one, you know, to me, it's time for a new radio duo.
Oh, good point. I forgot about that. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that radio combination needs to just be blown up.
Yeah.
Not physically, I mean, just that...
Take a bowl.
Just no. I love the M80s to the belts. I grew up on Farmer and Rooney, listening to them in the car. They don't do it for me anymore.
Farmer to say he's lost his fastball would be an understatement.
Yeah.
And I don't think
DJ never had one.
He never had
one. He just never had one.
He's been out there as a
He just never has sounded comfortable, no matter who you put him with. No. He never sounded comfortable on TV. Just his bedside manners as a broadcaster. I mean, a nice guy, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he does a lot of events with, I know, Sox Charities.
Almost seemed like he did better when he was, like, on a national TV broadcast. Like, I think he used to do Fox games, like, on Saturday or something. He seemed more natural doing those than he does for the team that he's
forced,
involved with.
They are easy to listen to. Like they have a relationship. Mm-hmm. I could tell they go together pretty well. But sometimes it's like they're hearing two different games about how they spit out information.
So to me, in Farmio, it's just sometimes it's time to go.
It is time. It's time.
And DJ, I've never. Again, nice man. I'm not here to say that he's a terrible person by any means, but I would enjoy a different presentation over the airwaves, if you will. And I'm not going to sit here and say I know who the perfect person would be because I don't. But I would. I'd start.
I can always send some sort of resume. I mean, if they're looking, if they're holding a casting call, I will be there.
I know you will.
I'll be there.
I know you will.
Good list.
It's fun to think about sometimes.
And we didn't share our ideas before we jumped on this podcast. So you took kind of like a big picture, which I appreciated, and I completely forgot about the Farmer DJ. We've been talking about that for a while.
Yeah.
You got the TV thing you figured out with Stone and Benetti. Now get the radio thing figured out. You're on GN. Like, figure that out.
Yeah.
Good list. Nothing will be... the GN thing might turn around, but no one's moving the stadium anytime soon.
No. When I was thinking about this on the drive up, as I'm looking at the beautiful lakefront,
and
I love coming up to your place on a beautiful sunny day like this.
Yeah.
And from what I've heard, it's that when Reinsdorf, you know, checks out, he wants the team to be sold.
Yeah.
So who's to say that whoever comes in and buys it? How many different stadiums has Atlanta had? How many different stadiums have the Cardinals had? How many different stadiums have the Twins had? How many different stadiums have all these guys had? We're not in an era in this country anymore where places go 80 years before you have a new venue.
It's just not
the norm.
It's possible and fresh set of eyes, but the fact that I potentially will be landing three blocks from the
stadium. That's why I said it might be an unpopular.
And taking the Good Guys Talk Back headquarters to Bridgeport finally in a short amount of time, and then just to see that stadium move, I would be.
If all of a sudden I fall on a bundle of $1 billion when I leave your place here today and I buy the team, I promise I'll keep it around for a little bit. Consult me first before I let you get the paint done.
All right,
first
thank
before
you.
I build a stadium.
All right, well, you know, that's always a fun. That's like a tavern talk, you know. It's always good to revisit some of that stuff, even during season. Like, mm-hmm. what would you change? You know, even with like stadium giveaways and you know honoring players. Always a good conversation, especially with somebody that's been following the Sox as long as you have all your life. There's two things I want to. You tell me because this we're going to call. I want to get into some of the Pecota projections. Mm-hmm. I also want to visit. We don't have a ton of time. I do want to visit some of the Houston stuff. Should we save one of those?
I'll tell you what. Let's save Houston drama because I have a feeling eventually it's going to spill into Boston drama.
Yeah,
so
as soon as we
you know figure this one out, the next shoe is going to drop.
Okay,
so let's do that.
The Pecota. So let's do. You know, Pecota projections came out recently and put the Sox at 83 wins, which, okay, I can see that. I think that's, what, 11 wins above from where they were last year. Vegas, depending on who you talk to and what you look at, has got them at the sixth best odds to win the World Series.
To me, I'm looking more at Pecota than I am with Vegas. That's always great to see what Vegas puts it at. But Vegas has...
That'll change depending on who's betting.
Exactly. They're setting lines depending on who they think they
can get
the bet
at. Right, where the money's coming in.
So, wonderful that they have the sixth best odds. I thought that was a little bit
interesting. You're looking at the 83 wins.
83 wins, to me, is a little bit more important. It's probably, you know, about where I thought Pecota would put them in it. And they're usually pretty close. So
they
if
are.
If you improve this team by 11 wins next year and we just have something that we have going well, it's not where I ultimately want this team to land.
That puts them at 83 and 79.
Give me
four games over 500.
Four more wins than that, I'd feel really, really
good. I see
this
as a high 80s.
So
the 90 is... 90 would be a stretch. I don't think it's unreasonable. I had like.
Do you remember the reasons why they had it set at 83?
I don't know if they factored some of the players in that were coming back off of injuries. To be honest with you,
I think they probably look at it what it is on paper, especially with the starting pitching. Obviously, like most people would, put a lot of emphasis on where your starters are at, and you might have some question marks in that starting rotation. I'm a lot higher on where the rotation is and where the potential rotation will be once we get to May.
Yeah,
because I think you got guys come, like you said, coming back, that this thing could shift a little bit between opening day
and algorithms,
May.
It's computer, it's projections, it's, you know, I don't want to get too off of a tangent here, but, and, you know, I still watch PTI. I might be one of the last people that still watch. Kornheiser and Wilbon, you know, they go together really well. They had Joe Maddon on, manager now of the Angels, and they had him for 5 good minutes, maybe on Thursday, maybe on Friday. And, man, say what you will about Maddon, and he spoke very intelligently about the state of the game and the harm that some of the sabermetrics, some numbers, some analyticals are doing to humans, you know, scouts, managers, coaches. And he said, you know what, you got to go with your heart sometimes. You got to go with your gut.
Yeah.
You got to put human eyes on something. I've been around the game a long time, and it's just these numbers, these stats, these figures are ruining it.
Yeah.
And, you know, Pecota does what it does. It factors in a bunch of stuff. You can't TW.
That's wheel to win.
So, I mean, who knows? But if that's where we're starting.
Was Hawk behind Madden yelling that? Hawk, where did you come from?
That's what I will miss from Hawk. But, you know, so are the expectations then too high? The head and the heart. The heart tells you this is an 87, 88 win team, maybe a 90 win team. Mm-hmm. The way everyone's talking, the excitement. You know, Eloy's going to hit 50 home runs. You know, this person looks good. This, you know, the sky's the limit for Robert. He's the next Trout.
Yeah.
Is it getting a little too exciting? Should we temper emotions a little bit?
No, because you know what? At the end of the day, Nick, we're still fans.
And why,
you know what? The worst thing that we can do, if you sit here and go, oh, should we temper it so we don't, we're not so vulnerable if it doesn't go well.
Right.
You know what? What's fun about being a fan is that you and I can sit here and talk about this and get excited about it. And don't tell me that we shouldn't be excited. But why not? Life and sports are all about what is coming.
We'll never
next.
Have one of these moments. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. you know, yeah. whether it works out or not, at the end of the day, we still have homes and we still have food in our refrigerators. It's not going to determine how we live our lives.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, be excited yeah. about baseball. Be excited yeah. about your teams. If you think you're really pumped about it, you're because right. it could be other stuff. Like I tweeted out, if you're tired about talking about Chicago Bulls and their issues, and you're tired of talking about where the Bears' next quarterback is going to come
sports
from,
in this
you know, if
city
you've got
right
something
now.
That you can log on to, yeah. lop onto, and be excited about, and it's baseball. Why not?
So that's great, because to just tie everything in nicely before we have to sign off, that's why there should be more spring training games televised.
You
see what I did there?
A radio savant. Let me just tell you that, my friend.
I've got a degree somewhere in the
there. It's here in the house. Somewhere
dusty says I know what I'm doing. Folks, thank you so much for tuning in to episode 49 of Good Guys Talk Back. Our Chicago White Sox, Good Guys Wear Black, Good Guys Talk Back. This is an everything Chicago White Sox podcast. You can find us anywhere you find podcasts. Simply subscribe. Every new episode will come right into that podcast inbox. Give it a rating. It really helps other Sox fans find us. You can also find us on Facebook on our Good Guys Talk Back fan page and on Twitter, at Good Guys TB. Looking forward to the next show, Pat, where we're even closer to that opening day.
Yep, the Big 50.
We'll be in March. Yeah, the next episode, the Big 50. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Awesome.
For Pat Hester, I am Nick Morawski. Talk to you next time. Go Sox.